where the saints of God are fit. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he does feed and supplies their every need. Holds his sweetest up with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may face the Jesus table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and on the second now. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the master called to them, oh, come and dine. There they found their hearts desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may face the Jesus table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and on the last together now. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the hosts of heaven will assembled be. All 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints and spotless white, and with Jesus' vision eternally. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turn the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and dine. Amen. Remain standing, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brandon. Good evening. Well, it's good to see you tonight. I tell you what, I told Brother Fry, I said, we got a problem. I said, this side is heavily loaded. So that means everybody got here late or trying to leave early. So we're going to get the ushers to lock the door so you can't get out tonight. And just had a great service last night and expecting to see God do great things tonight. I told Brother Fry in the choir room, I said, I thought about it last night after the service, and it encouraged me because you think Sunday morning he preached on the holiness of God, and last night he preached on the second coming of Christ. And tell you what he did, this is revival, and he's preaching doctrine. Let me say it again, he's preaching doctrine. And tell you what's going on in our culture. We've got anemic Christians because they don't want a healthy diet of doctrine. They say, well, it's not applicable. You know what? I believe this, that our belief affects our behavior. And so if our belief affects our behavior, then we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. And when the second coming of Christ comes, we'll be ready for him. Amen. But what's happening, we want all these feel-good, mushy-gushy messages, and we don't want to hear about doctrine because we'll say, well, it's not applicable for today. Sure it is. It's always applicable. And so I just appreciate a man that will preach doctrine. Amen. So thank you, Brother Fry. Looking forward to what God has for us tonight. And good to have the McCormicks with us tonight. They're going to sing for us in just a bit. Excited to hear from the choir this evening. Good to have all of you guests with us tonight. We're honored to have you. And so we're going to pray and get right into it and enjoy the choir as they sing tonight. Good to have my friend Brother Matthew Delane, his dear wife, with him. And many of you remember him. They were with us several years ago. And it's just good to see him up. Amen. And if you'll remember, they were in a real bad car accident several years ago. Didn't really think he was going to make it. And I drove up to Cincinnati through the night and went to see them. And boy, I tell you what, it looked grim. But you see the miracle hand of God on his life, and appreciate he and his dear wife being with us. So, Brother Matt, will you open us up in prayer tonight? And after he prays, you can be seated, and we'll turn it right over to the choir.
When I think of all the many times I've been spared pain and misery, even when I played the fool, your unseen hand was there protecting me. Lord, have my share of troubles, I must confess that it's reality. When I look back on my yesterdays, I have to raise my hands and say, Lord, you've been good to me.
I'm glad we can say he's been good to us. Amen. And I like what this song simply says, redeemed, how I love to proclaim him. Page 311. Let's stand to sing it together tonight.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am.
Fellowship as the choir comes down tonight. Great singing choir. Thank you. getting back to our seats. Let's go to that second verse, redeemed and so happy in Jesus.
Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever.
On that third verse, I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
Amen. On the last verse, ushers, you come now.
I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
Wonderful singing tonight. Remain standing, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Brandon. Brother Fry said, we got a good crowd tonight. They're just all right there. And Baptist folk, they're creatures of habit. And there'd be 1,000 seats over here, and they'd sit on top of each other where they normally sit. And I tell them, Brother Andy, on Sunday, I said, I know when you're not here, because all I got to do is look where you normally sit, because nobody ever moves in the Baptist church, right? But we're so glad to have all of you. Great job tonight, choir. And appreciate the good song. Boy, He's been good to me. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. We're going to have Brother Cedric McCormick and Tanya, Kevin, little Titus come sing for us. I met them. I guess, how long have we known each other, Brother Cedric?
I had hair.
I didn't know you when you were a baby, brother. Oh, it's been probably 10 years or more, hadn't it? I think you and Tanya hadn't been married long, and I remember talking to him on the phone, and he was telling me what he did. They were living in Florida at the time. And he said, I think y'all had something to do with the school, didn't you take some recruits to, I think you'd mentioned, yeah, we get to go to the football game, stand on the sideline and take some recruits. He said, I hate it. And I thought, what is wrong with this guy? There's something bad wrong with this guy. But we became friends, and they've been up here several times, been on the road quite a bit. We're glad to have them. They were in town for a few months here, and so he called the other day, saw him at the Sword Conference. We talked and invited him to come sing. I'm going out, Brother Delane, going out to Wyoming in next month, and probably North Dakota, maybe the month after that. I met Brother Matt in South Dakota, and it seemed like every time I go out west, I bring somebody home. So I don't know who I'm going to bring home with me this time. But I went out west one time to California. I brought Jose home. And so I'm not sure who we'll have coming home with us, but I'm sure somebody will load up and come back with us. But I sure am glad. I was thinking, isn't it nice that Brother Fry, along the way, that and Brother Matt mentioned, we was praying, you can go different places, and we may not, you go out west, and everybody's wearing cowboy boots and bolo ties and things, but we may not have a lot in common in those things, but it's good to know that you can go anywhere in the world, and we're all united by the blood of Christ. And glad we can come together on a night like tonight and just enjoy the things of God. And in preparation for one day, we'll see Him face to face, and we'll come together for good. So thank you all for being here tonight. I want to pray, receive the offering. Everything you give tonight go to Brother Fry. And so give liberally. That's the only kind of liberals we really like, liberal givers. Amen. So you help us tonight. Brother Kenneth Humphrey, if you would, pray for us.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come back for you again this Tuesday night with a thankful heart. Thank you, Lord God, for what you did last night. We'll thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do tonight, Lord God. We ask, Lord God, touch, preach, fry, Lord God. Use him, Lord God. I pray, dear God, you put a hedge about him, such a father, Lord God. I pray to give him safe travel wherever they go, Lord God. Give him a place to preach, because I know he wants to preach till he comes back. I pray, Lord God, you keep him safe and help him, protect him, Lord God. Help him on the journey. I pray, dear God, somebody here lost not, you touch them, Lord God, in their mind. Show them they lost, God. Help them, Lord God, see the need for salvation. Pray to God, you touch them, Lord God, and draw them down all tonight before it's too late. Pray to God for this offering, gift to giver. Pray to God, you bless it, Lord God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just want to give you honor and glory for what you're going to do ahead of time. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Chains of sin and set me free.
I was a slave in a foreign land, so very far from the Father's loving hand. He rescued me one glorious day. He brought me out. He paid a debt I could not pay.
I am redeemed, I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. I am redeemed, I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free.
But now I'm free according to redemption's plan.
And soon I'll join the road in white, the redeemed.
We'll sing a song holy angels cannot sing. I am redeemed, I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. I am redeemed, I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. I am redeemed.
Amen. It is good to be in God's house tonight. We are the McCormicks. I'm Cedric, my wife Tanya at the piano, our little boy Titus, and then Kevin Long, and we are missionaries to the local church working here in America and on the foreign field. Actually, we're doing choir revivals, and one of our very first choir revivals we ever done was right here at Currytown in the old building, and we're still burning it up. We're working around the world now just helping churches, so you pray for us. We've got some prayer cards in our pockets. Make sure you get one tonight and pray for us. Hey, I'm thankful for all that God has done. Has God been good to you tonight? Hey, He's been a whole lot better to us than we've been to Him. I want to thank Him for all He's done.
Every morning when I wake to see the sun, I can't help but think about the Lord and all the things He's done.
For all He's done, I want to lift my hands and praise Him for all He's done. I try to live my life to please Him, even though I don't deserve to praise the Lord for all He's done.
There are many things that I could praise God for. And if I started now until I die, there'd still be many more. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord.
You ever had a friend that hurt you? You ever had a friend lie on you? You ever had a friend let you down? Too many times, I'm afraid, amen. But aren't you glad that there's a friend that sticks closer than any brother? I'll tell you this, he'll never forsake you. He'll never talk bad about you. He'll never let you down. You'll never be disappointed by Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Right.
He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. Is it fair to say he's been a faithful friend?
Amen.
I've found a faithful friend.
When the hurt goes deeper than the deepest place your heart has ever known, when you're standing in your darkest trial and it seems you're standing all alone, when the tears fall down like bitter rain and you're wondering if the sun will shine again, in the midst of disappointment, look around, you'll find a faithful friend.
He's walked through my darkest valley, shining light upon the lily by the way. He has picked me up and helped me when I thought I could not face another day. And when my heart had stopped its singing and my mind was simply searching for an end,
I can tell you by experience,
I found a faithful friend.
Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than any brother ever can. When the ones that you have trusted prove untrue, on Him you can depend. He will never fail or let you down, and His love will help your broken heart to mend. So up the broken pieces, turn around, you'll find a faithful friend.
He's walked through my darkest
valley, shining light upon the lily by the way. He has picked me up and held me when I thought I could not face another day. And when my heart had stopped its singing and my mind was simply searching for an end,
I can tell you by experience,
I found a faithful friend.
Oh, I can tell you by experience,
I found a faithful friend
You know, talking about the Lord being that faithful friend, aren't you glad that He's somebody that we can take all of our cares and our problems and our burdens to? And it matters to Him, amen? Hey, when your heart is broken, He cares. And when it matters to you, it also matters to the Master.
Life lets you down and you feel more broken.
Amen. It's good to know that God cares, isn't it? Appreciate what the Lord's done already. I'm not going to preach. I want to share one scripture with you, and I'm going to turn it over to the preacher man. Let him preach. But, you know, we're in a messed up day. Brother Fry's touched on that. We're living in a day where the idea of grace, people think that's a license to sin. Do whatever you want to do. Just come to the Lord and say, I'm sorry, and everything's fine. And that's what's being preached. Anything that you have some standards, some convictions, you're a legalist, you're a Pharisee, everything else. And a man shared this scripture with me today, and I want to share it with you because it helped me. I believe it'll help you. In Romans chapter 6, verse 15, Paul wrote this. He said, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid." And that word under means that we have an obligation, a responsibility to grace. We're not over grace, we're under grace. Grace is above us. And then verse 18, the Bible said, "Then being made made free from sin, says ye became the servants of righteousness." Doesn't sound to me like God saying, you know what, live any way you want to, and that's the grace of God. It sounds to me like God saying, because of my grace, I've got some ways and some things I want you to live by. And that's why the preaching of the Word of God is so important. I love singing. Boy, you heard some great singing tonight. But I'm glad we can hear preaching. I'm glad we've got the truth of the Word of God. And we've still got some men that will stand up and proclaim, thus saith the Lord. And thank you, Brother Fry, for standing for so many years. That young preachers are younger. I'm kind of in the middle now. I'm not young anymore, but I'm younger. That has paved the way for us. And has stood still and still staying with the stuff. And I appreciate him. He's been a help to me, and it's been a help to our church, been a help to many, even in this congregation. So please give him your attention tonight as he preaches. Brother Fry, you just come preach. Amen.
I spend most of my time saying, can you hear me now? Well, it's good to be here again this evening. And it's good to see you folks that's come out on this Tuesday evening. And good to see our church folk and our visitors. And good to see the preachers and men of God. Appreciate you coming. Good to see Brother Andy again tonight and his folk down Fundamental. Brother Delane, I met him out there. And I didn't, but got his name. Been a long time since I'd seen you. He said, the face, I knew the face, you would never get that. No. And good to see you folk tonight. Been a long time. Thank you all for coming. I enjoyed that special singing, didn't you? Then the choir. I never heard that song, choir. There's a good job tonight. Did a great job, great music. I think about this often. Think about this often. Of the years that God has allowed my wife and I to serve Him. So always good to have her in the congregation. It's probably been my wife now for 67 years. And I praise the Lord for her faithfulness and backing me in the ministry. You've heard this so many times. Behind every good man, there's a good woman, and I believe that. I believe that with all of my heart. Let me read the scripture, and then I want to share something with you. Pastor, thank you for allowing me to come again this year to preach in these nights of revival. If you couldn't, would please, would you stand this evening in honor to the reading of God's Word in prayer time. In John chapter 7, beginning at verses number 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. My Heavenly Father, I come before you this evening in that precious, wonderful name, my Savior, the Lord Jesus. And Father, we certainly want to thank you for this day that you have made for us, and we're rejoicing and we're glad therein. Thank you, Lord, again, that we can echo the words of the psalmist David when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And my Father, since gathering here, we have enjoyed the fellowship time, even back in the choir room, as we're making preparation to come out to sing this evening. Thank you for that time of fellowship. Then, Lord, I want to thank you for the congregation singing, the good choir song. And then, Lord, these dear people that sung tonight so faithfully and honored you, I'm glad I've been redeemed by your blood. We have worshiped you in this time. Now, Father, it's time to worship you in the preaching of your word. God, help me tonight. God, give me that touch that I need to preach for and to honor and glorify your name. God, would you bless our visitors this evening? And bless the members of this church. Lord, again, I pray for every preacher, pastor, missionary, evangelist, I pray for them. Then my pastor, Brother Mike, Lord, he and his dear wife, would you help him and families and the shepherds of this church? Again, I pray that you'd save some soul. Encourage your people and give revival in these last days. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing in honor to the reading of the Word of God and prayer time. I was cleaning out my office back some weeks ago, the week of July, the first time my wife and I had been home on the week of the 4th in 16 years. So we took 9 days off for the first time in 16 years. We took any time off. And I thought I was going to rest, but my wife had a list this long. And those days I was off, I was glad to get back behind that steering wheel on that coach and head out again. But I seen some books I hadn't seen in 16 years because they'd been stored in my garage. My garage, you got so full that you just aim your car and just go in. Then I found some notes that I had used years ago. And I said, I'm going to revive those notes again. Let me share one with you. A little boy came up to his mother in the kitchen one evening while she was fixing supper, and handed her a piece of paper. After she dried her hands, she read, "Cutting the grass, $5. Cleaning up my room this week, $1. Going to the store for you, 50 cents. Babysitting my kid brother while you went shopping, 25 cents. Taking out the garbage, $1. Getting a good report card, $5. Cleaning up and raking the yard, $2. You owe me a total of $14.75. And so his mother looked at him, and the boy could see memories flashing through her mind. She picked up the pen, turned over the paper, and wrote, "For the 9 months I carried you while you were growing inside of me, no charge. For all the nights that I've stood up with you, doctored and prayed for you, no charge. For all the trying times and all the tears that you have caused throughout the years, no charge. For all the nights that were filled with dread and for the worries I knew were ahead, no charge. For the toys, the food, and the clothes, and even wiping your nose, no charge. Son, when you added up the cost of my love, it's no charge." And so when the boy finished reading what his mother had written, there were big tears in his eye, and he looked straight at her and said, "Mom, I sure do love you." Then he took the pen. In great big letters, he wrote, "Paid in full." And I think about that. I think about what the Lord did for us at Calvary. When he had paid the sin debt, not in part, but in full. The pastor mentioned this evening back in the choir assembly. He's talking about Sunday morning, preaching on the holiness of God. And then last night, the Lord allowed me to preach on the second coming of our Lord. And then tonight I want to preach on this thought. Jesus is a fountain of living water. Now before I give you the introduction, the message this evening, back many years ago, my pastor said to me, he said, "Brother Fry, you're a young preacher. You got a lot of zeal. Sometimes young preachers get more zeal than they have common sense," he said. "But you need to sit down and study. Be sure to make some notes along the way because you'll need them." I said, "Pastor, I don't need that." I said, "I don't need that. I think I'll have enough to say." But after about three times preaching, I realized my pastor was a wise man. So I began to study. I began to make notes. Then I went out in the woods and I began to pray. And I said, "Now, Lord, what I'm interested in is that you'll make me a Bible preacher. Help me to learn the doctrine. Help me to be indoctrinated so I can help others when I preach to them." It's just more than saying I'm a preacher. But we need to be sound in doctrine. I thank God today. If you know anything about Noah Fry, I'm sound in doctrine. I don't have no access to grind with nobody. My time is filled with trying to just preach the Word of God. We find here in our introduction this evening, according to verses number 2, the Jews were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. This was a feast that occurred during the first part of our month of October. On each of these 7 days, a high priest would go to the pool of Siloam and draw out water in a golden vessel. And this water would then be poured out on the altar where the parts of the sacrifices were arranged. As the water was poured out, the people sang unto the Lord and shouted for joy. It's so good to come to a church like this and the churches I preach in that people know what it is to shout for joy. They know what it is to sing songs that honors and glorifies God. And then we find again, it was a time of great celebration and worship for the people. This kind of celebrating continued for 7 days. Now the 8th day was called the great day of the feast. On this day, sacrifices were again offered, but there was no singing and there was no shouting. This is known as a solemn day of repentance before the Lord. Another element was missing on this day as well. There were no water poured out on the 8th day. It was against the backdrop of silence and symbolism that Jesus stood up and proclaimed himself to be the fountain of living water. When he spoke, thousands would have been present to hear him, and everyone who heard him would have instantly understood what he meant. Now, first of all, this evening, let me call our attention. In verses 37 and verses number 38, we find recognizing the fountain of living water. What's so sad today, many people in our world have not recognized who Jesus is as their Savior. They have not recognized the fountain of living water. In these two verses, Jesus proclaims himself to be the place where the living water is found. Jesus isn't the living water, but he's the fountain where it can be found. Throughout the New Testament, water for drinking is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. You see, it is the Spirit of God that comes to the sinner, shows him or her his need of salvation. In John 16, in verses number 8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Talking about the Holy Ghost of God now. Again, we find in the Bible, it's the Holy Spirit that applies the Word of God in conviction. Now, I hear people say this all the time. I will get saved when I get ready. I'll make it right with God when I get ready. Oh, no. Oh, no. First of all, you've got to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. When God's Word is preached, and then He, the Holy Spirit, does His office work, He begins to convict the heart of the sinner. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 6 and verses number 4, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day, he said. It is the Spirit that baptizes a new believer into the body of Christ. In the book of 1 Corinthians, we find chapter 12 and verses number 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit, it is the Spirit that seals that believer. I'm glad I've been born of the Spirit and washed in the blood, but sealed of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. I don't know what you're waiting for. For better than 60 years, I've been waiting for the redemption of this body right here. I'm looking for the Lord to come. As I preached last night, when He comes, listen, we're going to get a new body. I'm looking forward to the day that when this old body of clay will go back to dust, we shall put on glorification. I'm going to say again what a day that will be. It's the Spirit of God that fills the believer and uses him or her for the glory of God. In Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This is true. This is true when you get saved, as far as in your birth, your new birth, rebirth, you get all the Spirit of God at one time. But then there's a filling of the Spirit of God. That is that, listen, God gets control of our life. We yield more to Him. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but every morning of my life, not just a while, a few days, a month, but every morning, I pray this prayer, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit today. I need the touch of God. I need that feeling today. Salvation involves every member of the Holy Trinity, but the Spirit of God is the one who abides in us and helps us day by day. He is the water of life. If the Spirit is the water of life, then Jesus has to be the fountain of living water. Now before the water of life should be dispensed, listen, to a lost and dying world, the fountain of living water had to be opened. It had to be opened. Now, the opening of a well requires that the earth be torn open so that life-giving water can flow forth. This was accomplished when Jesus died on the cross. The horrible death that He died for the sins of mankind. He allowed Himself to be mocked and beaten and spit upon and crucified just so He could be opened up and so the water of the Spirit might be free to flow to a needy humanity. On that cross that day, before He ever got to the cross in that judgment hall, He was beaten beyond recognition of a human being. When they put Him on that cross, He hung there in shame and naked for you and I. But then, in the final hours, that soldier took that spear and pierced His side. And forth came blood and water. That side was open that one day you and I could get in. If you're lost, so you can get in tonight. I'm glad that side was open. That side was riven because the bride to get in so we could get in. Thank God He is the living water. When I think about this horrible death on the cross. On that cross, he tasted death for every man. Now, when we look out across our congregation, we see, perhaps we say, most of you folk, or maybe all of you, are saved. But that's when people in this world knows nothing about the saving grace of God. What about people on death row? What about people today in the shape that they're in? Let me give you this illustration. We're in a time of society that most people don't want drunks to come to our church. They don't want harlots to come to our church. They don't want adulterers to come, but I'll take all I can get. Why? Because if they don't hear the gospel, if they don't hear about this living fountain, they're going to die in their sin. They're going to pray. They're going to die without God. And they go into hell. When I think about this, back in April, I'm in a meeting in Meldon, North Carolina. And listen close to what I'm going to say. On Monday night, this man and this woman came and hardly had any clothes at all. And their body was covered in tattoos. And that night I preached and they came to the altar. They didn't get saved, but they came to the altar where I was. And they said, "We're so glad we come. Because tonight you people have made us feel welcome in this place. It's a sad day when Christians don't make sinners welcome in our congregation." And they came 4 nights. Didn't get saved. But on that last night they came up, they didn't get saved. This is what they said to me. They said, "We're going to get saved. Not tonight. We're going to get saved and join this church because people have made us feel like somebody." You know what happened on Sunday morning? The pastor called me. They walked out and got saved and joined the church. I'm glad that God is still saving old sinners tonight. He's the fountain of living water. And then I was over here in Winston-Salem, and I was preaching on the platform with Brother Alan Barker. And he said he's knocking on doors on Saturday. He went to this home and knocked on this door, and this man came to the door. And he said he was covered in tattoos, hardly had on any clothes. And then he said, in a few moments, the woman came to the door, and he introduced her as his wife. He said, "We'd like you to come to church Sunday." He said, "That's strange. All churches don't want us to come. We've been thrown out of churches. No one wants us because of who we are and how we look." You see, sinners do things they shouldn't do because that's their nature. They don't know any better. Well, Adam said, "I'll send a bus by to get you Sunday morning. And we'll bring you down to our church." Well, Adam said, the bus went by and got that couple. And brought them to church and they sat down in the front row. And that morning they got saved. When you get saved, then you'll learn how to dress and what to do with your body. But we all are guilty of things before we got saved. You cannot disciple an unsaved person only when they get saved. When I think about this today, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad that God allows people like you and I that are willing to go out yonder and knock on doors and listen, even drive buses to pick up these people, to bring them down to the house of God so they get saved. Don't ever criticize people what they're doing for the Lord. I must go on. I just inserted it. I thought you would like that. We find again, many feel that salvation will be more of a reality if Jesus were somewhere in person. I've never seen him, have you? I have never laid eyes on the Lord, but I know he lives. How come you know he lives? Because he lives in my heart and the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Some said, "I'd rather see him in person." One day we will see him. Not with these naked eyes, but we'll see him one day. However, even the disciples felt this way before his death. They said, "Just don't leave us. Just stay with us. Let's build tabernacles here." Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could can all these good services we've been having and use them when the valleys come? I mentioned this Sunday morning. Too many people are building their house in the valley. Don't build your house in the valley. Why? Because God said we're passing through the valley. We're not going to be there long. Then again, the Bible tells us in John 16:7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart," notice that "I will send him unto you." Him, he has a personality. He has a personality. The Holy Spirit has a personality. The best thing that could ever happen did. Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, and ascended back into heaven. Then he sent his Spirit into the world to function as living water to all who come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find the primary thing you can need to know today is that when Jesus went to the cross, he died there. Now, he was not dying just because, listen, he was a bad man. You found no wrong, no fault in Jesus. He was perfect. Think about this for a moment now. But he became sin for me and for you. He bore our sins in his own body. So he, listen, he didn't deserve the death that he died, but he did that because he loves me so much and loves you so much. And then again, he was dying because he loved you and wanted to make a way for you to miss hell. And he died because he loves old sin. I'm glad God still loves sinners tonight. Notice in Romans 5, verses 6 through number 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But oh, verses number 8. If you say to me this evening, Brother Fry, which is your favorite book in the Bible? I'd have to say all of them. But I have one or two favorites. If you would say, which is your favorite verse in the Bible? Would I say John 1:12, the first verse I ever memorized? It's a good verse. But what about Romans 5:8? But God committed his love toward you. Think about that now. But God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. He died for us. Revelation chapter 1, verses number 5. And from Jesus Christ is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth and him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I'm glad I've been washed tonight. Not sprinkled, been washed in the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Again, the Bible tells us, never think for a moment that Jesus didn't die for you because he did. In 1 Corinthians 15:13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. But I'm glad there's been a resurrection. Let me say, ladies and gentlemen, this evening, if we only have his virgin birth, his sinner's life, his crucifixion, his birth, we don't have anything. But because there has been, it's not going to be, because there has been a resurrection, we have this so great salvation this evening. Because there's been a resurrection. What thrills my heart, he came forth in his own power. Then number 2, recognizing all the rewards of the fountain of living water. However, be sure that what you claim to possess is a reality. The Bible said in 2 Peter 1:10, wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Then Paul comes back with his second letter in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse number 5. Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know you not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is you, except you be reprobates. I know I've been to Calvary. I know I've been born again. No doubt about that. But a lot of people today are deceived. You know why? It's because they haven't been taught right. They haven't been preached to right. They say, do the best you can. You go to heaven. The only thing wrong with that, there's no truth in that. Something has to be more than doing good. Money can't buy your salvation. Good work cannot get you there. It has to be the blood. It has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he declared that I am the door. Can you honestly echo the words of the great Apostle Paul? In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, for they which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and persuaded able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. No problem with that. Paul said, I'm sure, and I'm not ashamed of this, he's able to keep me until that day of redemption. Don't worry about being lost. How can you lose something that's eternal? I hear this all the time. Well, you can jump out of the hand of God, or you can lose it. Let me tell you, once you get saved, you're always saved. I don't preach that because I'm a Baptist. I preach that because it's the Word of God. God tells us that no man can take us out of his hand. Paul said, I believe that. I accept that. And then again, oh, we're talking about rewards, satisfaction. Are you satisfied with the Lord tonight? Did you realize that some people in this world that never get satisfied, they get a new car and they want another one? I was riding down the road the other day with a man in a fairly new truck. He sent a new truck. He said, I got to have that truck. I said, then buy it. He said, I don't have the money. I said, then don't wish for it. Somebody will build a house and somebody will have one just a little bit bigger. I'm satisfied. Listen now, when you get 85 years young, a lot of things are going to help you. You'll find me no satisfaction in the world. I'm going to show you that as it's happened through the years. Lord, and I've been traveling this journey for a long time. I might not be satisfied with the roller coaster we travel in or the car. And I might not be satisfied with the house, so I'm satisfied with all of these things I've just mentioned. But I'll assure you, I'm satisfied in the Lord. I have never looked for another, have you? Since the day that God saved me, I've never looked for another. Why? Because He satisfied me. The Bible tells us, notice now here, knows that it's from the belly that the rivers of living water flow. The belly is a part of man that is never satisfied. You know why? We feed it and soon thereafter it cries out for more. Yet Jesus says that if you come to Him, He will give us satisfaction for our most pressing needs. We can sit down at the table and eat a full course meal. Now my wife, she'll tell you this. But seem like that my belly is never satisfied. In 30 minutes, I'm going through the kitchen again. I'm looking for something to eat. And she said, I get so aggravated with you. You eat all the time and never gain a pound. And I look at it and gain all the time, she said. But I eat and I eat. I've got to have popcorn. I've got to have potato chips. I've got to have Fritos. I mean, I've got to have, after I eat a full course, I've got to have all these things before I go to bed. Then once in a while, I have a fried bologna sandwich with a slice of onion on it, and then go to bed and dream all night long. But anyway, the belly is never satisfied. The flesh is never satisfied. But oh, that spiritual man. Oh, that spiritual man. I'm glad there's satisfaction in serving the Lord. In Psalm 34 and verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Psalms 107, verse 9, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Then I want you to notice number two, strength. Well, the water is always there. It's consistently refreshing the life of the believer. So we find this living water is that which gives us power, gives us joy, and gives us hope in this world. Now, a lot of people think they don't need the church today. But you know why I need the local church? Because it's in the church where I find hope. It's in the church where I find strength. It's in the church where I find fellowship and companionship. It's down the house of God. So I need to be there. I need to be strengthened in the Lord. So the living water is that which gives us power and gives us joy and gives us hope in this world. There are many who say that they could never live a Christian life. And this is a true statement. Nobody in their natural state. However, when the Spirit of God lives in you, you can't live it in the flesh, but it has to be a greater power than what we have. Well, we quit about half of our time, right? When I pastored 42 years, one church 8 years, one 34 years, about every Sunday night, from the platform to the foyer, I resigned. But I never got the words out. Why? It just seemed like that we want to obey the flesh. But then the flesh profits nothing. It'll deceive you. The Bible tells us, notice now. However, when the Spirit of God lives in you, in John 14, 6, and when I will pray the Father, He shall give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. When we want to quit, there's one living inside of us that says you can't quit. You've got to press on. Anybody can quit the altar. Good preaching, Noah. I've tried many times, but I haven't quit. Can't. A young man came to me back a few months ago. And he said to me, he said, I feel like God's called me to preach. What is your advice? I said, if you don't have to, don't. If you don't have to, don't. He looked at me like I was crazy. I went to my pastor when I felt the call of God. And I said, Pastor, how can I know if God's calling me to preach? He said, with a burden. I said, I don't even know what a burden is. He said, you will. Then that burden got so heavy, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't even call my pastor my name. I forgot who I was. Finally, one night, I said, Lord, I can't take it anymore. Here I am. If you can use this old fella, and I was young then, I'm available. Then again, I must go on. Let me say, we find here that the Bible tells us that Christ lives through us in Galatians 5:16. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. If you're saved tonight, you cannot do the things you used to do. And you can't even harbor those thoughts in your mind long, because why? You're going to be repenting of it. Then again, the Bible tells us here, notice now, in Romans 7:15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. The Bible says, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bring me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. For to be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is empty against God, for it is not subject unto the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he has none of it. I'll be best pretty plain, don't you? You don't have to amplify that. Then again, God makes all things possible. We can't, but God can. God can move mountains that we can never move. I've seen God move in our lives. You've seen Him move in your life. And I thought it was an impossibility. God has moved things out of the way to keep us safe. That's God. The Bible said here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. In Him, you see, the Spirit knows my needs. And He makes intercession with me. He said, for me, before the throne of God. Aren't you glad you got a go-between? Amen. You've got an advocate. Amen. Got an advocate. I wish I could tell you I've never got a speeding ticket. I wish I could tell you that. Some years ago, not 2 years ago, but less than 3 years ago. And my wife said to me, we live right above Zachary's, and I'm not giving them a commercial now. So I like to have one of those roadside salads they have down there. And I said, I'll go down and get us one because I'm fixing to leave out and she's not going to travel with me that week. And I'm going through the school zone and I behave myself and obey the speed law. But when I get through the school zone, I pick up 12 miles too much. And I seen this policeman sitting on the side. He pulls out behind me and turns the light on. I stop and wait for him. And you know the drill. He said, sir, do you know what you were doing? I said, I sure do. He said, you're guilty. I said, sir, I'm guilty. He said, I'm going to have to write you a ticket. I said, I know that. But I said, before you do, I cannot wish you a Merry Christmas, a Happy Easter. But I said, I want to ask you something. Now, remember, you stopped me. I want to ask you something. Are you saved? He said, I am. I said, now, wait a minute. You stopped me. I didn't stop you. I said, are you saved? He said, yes, sir, I've been born again, washed in the blood, and I go to a local church in town. I said, write your ticket. He said, I am anyway. In a few days, I got 5 letters from 5 different attorneys that wanted my case. And I said, now, which one am I going to choose? I chose the cheapest one that lived in town in case I had to have him again. And so when I went to his office and he told me how much it was going to cost me and what I had to pay him and how much I had to pay the district attorney and all that stuff. Then time went on. My wife and I getting ready to go to Mississippi and I got a letter in the mail. And it said what? It said, Mr. Fry, on a certain day, I became your advocate in court and spoke for you. And I want to tell you that your record is clean. There's nothing against you and I'm returning $50. Well, I like both of those things. But that's food for thought. Did you realize that? Isn't that wonderful? The day that God saved you and I, He wiped the record clean. Amen? wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He is now our go-between. He is our advocate this evening. He pleads our call. He's our intercessor, ladies and gentlemen. All because of the living fountain. And then again, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, he said, notice, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It's the Spirit of God that makes Christian living possible. Without God's Spirit, it'd be impossible to live for him. He leads us, he guides us, he teaches us. Galatians chapter 4 and verses number 6. And because you are sons of God, has sent forth the Spirit of his Son unto your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Then I want you to notice here, reward service. The Bible makes it clear that this water of life that is placed in this forms a mighty river that flows out from us and touches those that surround us. As we serve God, because of the Spirit of God that lives in us, because of this mighty river, it overflows and reaches out to others. Here's a lesson. When I was growing up on the farm, we still lived on this mountain. Down in the lowlands, my dad had planted his cane, his watermelon patch, corn. Never planted tobacco. He planted that on a hillside. But I remember one time it came up, a terrible rain. It rained for days. And the water, the river's got its banks, and seen the bridge go down like a ship down the river. And on the other side of the mountain, they did the same thing. And I seen our watermelons go down the river. Seen the cane field go down the river, and the corn field go down the river. My daddy wasn't saying, I said, Daddy, I don't understand. He said, remember, if the rivers never got out of the bank, one day the trash would overtake the river, and there'd be no rivers. God sends the flood to wash your trash down the river. That's why God gives us revival. Amen. Not that the evangelists are preaching anything different than your pastor, but let me say there are times that we let so many things get in our life, it has to be the Spirit of God to wash all the trash out and wash it down river. Amen. Then I want you to notice again, we find here the rock in the desert, Exodus 17:6. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. When the rock was opened up, the waters flowed forth into the desert and refreshed all who came in contact with it. When you and I get right by, when we get where God wants us to be, we get refreshed, it'll flow up on somebody else. It'll fall on somebody else. Now, I have never been a copycat. I never try to be like any other preacher. I'm just North Fry, plowboy preacher. I've never tried to, in a manner to act like somebody else in revival meetings. I just preach what God lays on my heart to preach. And if we'll be ourselves, be what God wants us to be, we'll be a great witness for the Lord. And then again, the Bible tells us, number three, verses 37, receiving the fountain of living water. Before a person can ever receive this living water, they have to have a thirst for it. They have to have an appetite for it. Have you ever tried to eat when you wasn't hungry? You ever had to try to eat something when you didn't have an appetite for it? Believe me, in our travels we have eaten in places I'd rather not have eaten. Amen, Brother Harold. I remember, and I don't mean this ugly, but you ought to go to Vermont one time. They're all different than we are. They feed different than we do down south. Can you tell I'm a Southern? I'm proud of it. But I remember this home I went in up there, and I'll not use any names. The first time I went to Vermont, 24 years without a miss. And I went in this home the first time. I thank God for being so gracious to me. My wife wasn't with me, but I had to fight the rats off, keep them from taking my food. I'm not exaggerating now. And then they built a new house. And I went there one time after they built that house and no electricity in it, back up near Canada. And then, as we went on, time went on, we kept going there. Sometimes we'd go there three times a week when we were up there to eat. But if you go in the house and you go down this 6-foot hallway, you'll do good to have a 2-foot way to walk. You got all it cluttered. You're going to go through the kitchen, and I'm not being ugly now. And then when you get through the kitchen, there's the dining room, and then there's the living room. And then you sit down at the table, and there's going to be a dog on the table. And then there's going to be a cat crossing across the table. And then you're right, there's going to be a fish aquarium. And you're left, there's going to be two birds over there, and there's one right in front of me. He knows one thing, he calls me stupid all the time I'm sitting there. But I'm sitting there. And you know what we're doing? My wife would kick my leg on the table. And I say to her, if they can live on it, we can live on it one time. And we see all of these things. But ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you don't have an appetite. Are you with me this evening? But what about, I'm not blind. But when I see food, I know whether it's good or not. Do you? I mean, if food don't look good, you can't eat it. Are you still with me? But if it looks good, you'll eat it. Up in Mount Air last year, a lady brought in a chocolate pie so thick that it would rain. And I said to my wife in the motor, you don't want none, do you? You don't want none, do you? She said, no, and I ate the whole thing. I have an appetite for food. I have a thirst for Pepsis, but I'll go on. But the Bible said now, a conscious desire for something not in one's possession before a person can be saved, he must or she must have sensed the need of salvation. Nobody can get saved unless they see the need for salvation. You've got to see that need. You may be lost in this all tonight, but you've got to see that need for salvation tonight. The Bible said this involved conviction of the Holy Spirit. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him and I raise him up the last day. You see, the sinner is dead in sins. Ephesians 2:1. And you had the quickened who were dead in trespassing and sin. But the Spirit of God cometh by. Quickens and listen. And that dead spirit and makes the sinner aware of his or her sins. Of the lost condition. So when this awareness comes, the sinner can then turn to Jesus for salvation. Then there has to be approach. There has to be approach. I've heard of people getting saved everywhere. In bathrooms. On the job. In bar rooms. I've just heard of people getting saved everywhere. But when they get saved, first of all, there had to be an approach. They had to make that first step. God deals with people. I remember the night that I got saved, sitting on the back row, standing in invitation time, under conviction and didn't know what it was. I was under conviction. I didn't know what it was. And a man stepped up beside me. And this is what he said to me. He said, sir, do you believe that Jesus died for you? I said, I sure do. At that moment, I got saved. I left that pew and went down to the altar and went through all the riches. But when I said I do, that's when I got saved. That very moment, because I made that approach. The Bible tells us, notice now, in Isaiah 55:1, he said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy, and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that hears say, come, and let him that has a thirst come, and whoso will let him take the water of life freely. Then listen, I'm glad it's available to everyone, not to just a little handful, but this water is available to everyone that will come and drink. We hear this all the time. Unless you're elected, you're not going to go to heaven. I'm glad I've been to Calvary, and I've been born again. Amen. Preserved in Christ. If you want to call me elected, then God elected me when he saved me that day. Now, some people believe if you don't believe in a total election, that you won't go to heaven. I've got to get out of here. I remember when our little girl, Deborah, passed away at the age of 6 months. My wife and I were not saved. The preacher got up and he said, I wish I could tell you this little baby is in heaven, but I can't. She may have been elected for hell. My wife and I followed that little casket to the cemetery, lost without God. Holding my wife's hand, our heart was broken. And I said to my wife, I said, If she's not in heaven, there's no hope for us. But I'm glad there's a God who loved me. I'm glad there's a heaven. And shortly thereafter, my wife and I received Christ as our Savior. I'm glad God took me just like I was. He'll take you just like you are. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that beget loveth him also, is begotten of him. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then there's access. When we get saved, we have access to the Father. Isn't that great? The way is open to Jesus. His well is never dry. If you'll only come to him. Aren't you glad that God's well never dries up? Never dries up. My wife of 67 years, and I'm just turned 18 years old when we got married. She took me to meet her parents, and I married a baby girl of 13 children. I'm from the family of four. I'm standing against this old oak tree, felt all alone with so many people that was kin to my wife, her brothers and sisters, nephews, cousins, all. She came out to me and she said, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't feel at home here. She said, look, you married all of this. You're in our family now. And I want you to meet my family. You know what? That day I was never a stranger again. Isn't that just like God when we get saved? You might be a stranger momentarily, but you won't be long. Because we got the same Father. Born the same Spirit and washed in the same blood. The Bible tells us, and as I conclude in Romans 8:38, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Matthew 11:28. He said, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then we think about the appropriation. We think about the drink. I'm glad I drank one day from this fountain. We find Israel in Exodus 12. The blood of the Lamb could not save until it was applied to the doorpost. We can preach about the blood, rebirth, all of this till we turn blue in the face. Until you're ready to receive and accept what Jesus did for you, you'll die without God. Would you stand all over the church? The musicians are coming. We're going to have an invitation. I'm going to pray and our pastor's going to come. I believe there's somebody tonight. And this audience needs to get saved. Needs to drink of this living water. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for liberty again that's been mine to preach for you. And I ask God that your word is found this lodging place in the heart of the hearer. Bring those to all that needs to come. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. It's good to know if you're here tonight, never trusted Christ, tonight could be that glad day of salvation. Probably on a Tuesday night of revival, most, if not all, are here that are saved. Maybe you just need to get something fresh. It's nice after you've been out working long and hard. Nothing else will satisfy but water. Maybe tonight, spiritually, you're dry, dusty. Long time since God really spoke to your heart. It's not Him. It's us. Maybe you just need to come tonight. Whatever your need, if you need to be saved, we'll be glad to share the gospel with you. Maybe tonight you just need fresh oil. Need something fresh from the fountain. And it's all the same. It's all Jesus. So you come while He sings tonight. Whatever your need, you come. Help us, God.
My
help us, God. Come on. You just mind the Lord. People are coming, you come.
Oh,
know what happens? We know that God hates pride. But sometimes we don't care. You're a man that's thirsty. If he's too proud to ask for water, you'll die of thirst a whole lot quicker than you'll die of hunger. I'm afraid what happens is we're so righteous. We want to play the game so much. We'll come to a meeting like this, hear a great message like that. We'll leave out of here and say, you know what? I'll go home and get things right with God. I'll go home and pray. I don't want to go up front because then people are going to think something's wrong with me. I got news for you. There is something wrong with you. There's something wrong with me. It's called sin. It's called flesh. And we'll stay away from the water. And spiritually, we'll thirst to death because we're too proud to come and ask for a drink. Now, I'm not the Holy Spirit, and I won't stand here, and I won't be one of these preachers that prolong the invitation. But I believe God laid that message on his heart tonight because there's a group of people in here that need some help. God's not going to force feed you the Word of God. He's not going to force His help on you tonight. But if you'll come, He'll give it to you. He's going to sing another verse, and I want to invite you to come. Mind the Lord. Maybe you just need to go on the altar and pray and say, God, you know what? I'm dry. I've lost my tears, and I want them back. You come, whatever your need tonight. Whatever your need, you come. Yes. Just mind the Lord. Help us, God. Listen, people are still coming. Sometimes we just got to put our stinking pride away and let God help us. He's going to keep singing. Listen, you come if you need to come. That's right. Mind God. Just mind God.